They're not even real.
You think hazelnuts are made
Where does a hazelnut grow? Ever seen a hazelnut tree?
Dude, I can't answer where anything grows. Like, name any other nut or fruit. I don't know where it grows.
That's not good.
Do you want to hear our first message? Because it's arrived.
We actually had a caller?
We had a caller.
Whoa, kind of catching me off guard here. Wasn't ready for this big reveal, but I guess.
Yeah. You'll see why.
Let's play it.
Take a listen.
Hi, Jeff. It's me. You know, I let that topical thing go a couple weeks ago, but I just... Koalas are marsupials. Like, you should know that. Okay, that's all. Bye.
That was your wife.
That was my wife calling you out for not knowing that a koala is a marsupial.
Yes.
Which, like,
I was very embarrassed to learn. Okay, first of all, nobody talks about the koala pouch. Everybody talks about the kangaroo pouch. We all know that's the big famous marsupial. I mean, obviously, as soon as I Googled it, lots of images came up of disgusting koala pouches.
All pouches are pretty gross, actually.
All pouches are super gross.
But I felt like at the time of recording, I was like, I'm pretty, like, I think, you know how when you say something like that and the other person's like, no, and you just believe them because they're more confident than you?
Yeah, well, I almost believe they had hard noses because of you. What the fuck is that? But also, as luck would have it, I listened to an episode of Every Little Thing like 2 days after we recorded that, where they were talking about wombats,
right,
which are also well, she claimed they were marsupials,
right,
and a listener called in and corrected her that they're actually another thing, which I forget the word for, but they do have pouches. Wombats do have pouches, but they also like lay eggs or something.
What?
Okay. Which is totally fucked up.
Yeah, that's totally something completely different.
But anyways, koalas.
So are you saying that marsupials are like a hot topic in the podcasting world?
They are.
Okay.
They really are. We've latched into content gold here.
Yeah.
So here's what I don't get about the pouch. Baby comes out vagina.
Yeah.
As per we're familiar with.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
How does it know to fucking
crawl
up,
yeah,
it's
the fur,
it's mom's fur,
yeah,
and dive into this gross little skin pocket
and just hang out there
and just chill and start sucking on a little nipple?
It's really messed up, and like, it's like all instincts though, like,
and it's so small, like, yeah, it's a little,
it's like not a fully formed thing yet.
No,
it's not done at all being cooked.
No.
It comes out early, sort of.
Can't even see.
Yeah.
It just blindly climbs up.
Yeah.
Into like this pouch. Like, if it was born into the pouch, I could see that making so much more sense. But no, it has to transport itself.
Yeah. Does the mother ever, like, pick it off and put it in? Or is that part of the... Is that an important part of the journey?
You got to think that it would. But I think you're right. Like, if it can't figure it out on its own, you don't want that.
Yeah.
You're not raising that baby.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's going wrong this early in the process, you're going to have to handhold it the whole time? No, I don't think so.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Falls, like, off in the dirt.
Yeah. And then you're like, fuck, lost another one. It is really messed up though, that whole process. Like, is there like some sort of scent trail? Like, how do they know what's north, you know?
Yeah. It must be sense a good idea.
I like how the whole kicking off point for this was that we didn't know koalas are marsupials, and now we're just randomly speculating about marsupials in general.
Yeah.
Like,
so much bro science happening on this pod.
I feel like my wife might call in again, and we'll just have to keep answering questions all the way down.
It just turns into the koala cast.
I wouldn't mind that. That's fine with me.
Honestly, they are pretty much troves of, like, fun facts.
Yeah, yeah. And that other thing that you said.
You could do a new koala fact.
Like, whatever the egg-laying marsupial, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Is that what a platypus is?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's only like two of them.
Yeah.
It's the platypus and the wombat. But no, there's probably more, and I totally fucked that up. But I was surprised that they said there was like 300 marsupials.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And that I was is
like,
surprising.
Okay, I knew about like maybe three.
Yeah. And one you didn't even know.
Yeah, one secret one.
Koalas, the secret marsupial.
I'm not even convinced they were marsupials till like a week ago. I think David Attenborough like retconned koalas after hearing the pod just to fuck with me.
Is he the arbiter of these things?
Is he not? Is that in question?
You're right. That's a dumb
Attenborough
question.
Designs animals. We covered the zombie weapon of choice.
We
covered how you handle the world coming after you.
Yep.
But I don't think we've done your nuclear fallout scenario. What's your emergence strategy? How do you emerge from your bunker?
So first of all, I'm not prepared for the bomb to be dropped at all. So I'd probably just die in the first round or whatever.
You just probably procrastinate getting that bunker together.
Yeah, they'd be warning us for weeks on the news. And I'd be like, it's fine. Kim Jong will change his mind or whatever.
Amazon delivered the bunker, and so it's in the back.
I have to unwrap it. It's like four screws. It'll be fine. Don't worry. And then the alert comes.
Takes me like a minute.
You have 4 minutes to prepare.
Shit. You end up just hiding under the box.
It works better than the bunker itself.
Well, I mean, it's a bunker box. It's got to contain a bunker. It's a pretty substantial box.
Exactly. Whatever they ship the bunker in is very, very strong.
Why don't they just make the whole plane out of the black box? Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay. So, but the fallout, I'm trying to picture what the world looks like when you come out of the front door of your bunker. What do you see?
Everything is now a hazy red color.
Yep. Orangey red.
Red, like the color of mutation.
Yes, exactly. Are all the structures around you gone? Like, is it just flat? Like, if you were to look at the Toronto skyline, is it done? Or what's...
It's like, well, it depends where the nuke actually hits, but like at a sufficient radius from the blast, everything is just kind of still standing, but like all the electronics are fried.
Yeah.
And
it would be there's an EMP involved with a nuclear blast, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Nothing electronic works at all.
And then there's just crazy winds. So at a certain distance, it's like, just like a tornado came through.
Right.
But it's not flat.
And everything's orange.
And yeah, the whole world is orange by default after after the nukes.
Yeah. So what would I do? I think I would immediately go to like the grocery stores nearby. Like if I hadn't prepared, which I'm going for, I didn't prepare at all. Then I need food and like, you know, bottled water and things.
Right. So you go on a supplies run.
Like as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Everybody else is doing the same thing. Like, you got to get there early or you're going to die in the struggle to take the grocery store.
Okay, but isn't all the food irradiated now and not good to eat?
I mean, maybe, but I don't have a solution to that. So
okay, so you're just... This is your only option. And you're like the first of the people to turn from the poisoned food.
If
you're going to be like the first ghoul.
Yeah. Zombie, whatever.
Zombie.
Whatever it is. I mean, I guess, like, am I being dumb here? Is there a way to denuclearize food that I should know about?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I think you have to microwave it. Kills the radiation.
That sounds right. Yeah. So I'd raid the grocery store, and then I'd immediately come home and start microwaving cans of soup.
Yeah, metal cans of soup.
Yeah.
Burn down what's left of your house, your shelter.
What would you do, though? Like, it seems like you think I'm way out in left field, and you have a better idea.
Well, my preparedness wouldn't be any better, to be honest.
Right.
If I had time... I don't know. I think I've thought about some good ideas, but they're not like revolutionary. It's nothing anyone hasn't heard before. Have you watched any of that show? I think it's called Preppers, maybe.
I like Netflix. maybe super late at night, but I don't remember.
Yeah. It's all just store up water.
Yeah.
Dry out food.
So you think we should all be doing that, though, right? Like, I should...
Well, I don't know. It'd be smart. I'm not sure that I want everybody to do it. I want the apocalypse to wipe out a lot of the unprepared, so...
Right, but in your like, ideal preparedness world, you have a basement full of canned goods and water and powdered proteins and stuff already.
Not a basement. It's like there's like a trap door that I have to pull on like a book to reveal,
right.
Like a sliding closet type, a sliding bookshelf type thing.
I feel like
it goes down a long metal staircase.
Wait, hold on. What? I feel like you didn't take the EMP thing into account, and your stupid door, hidden door, wouldn't work, and then and then you'd either die in your shelter or not be able to get into it at all.
That's a good point.
Anyways, sorry, continue.
Tell my me smart more. Shelter has been disabled day one.
Siri, open shelter door.
Yeah. What do you think the ideal number of people to share a bunker with is?
Like a family unit, like four people, I think. Any more than that.
You'd want to share a bunker with your family? I mean, other than just the number of people, like,
that's a separate question. You asked how many people, and I think four people. I shouldn't have said family unit, because you're right. It's a careful consideration.
Yeah.
You take in the bunker with you.
Yeah, I wouldn't go more than 10.
I think 10 is too many.
Well, I mean, I guess depending on the size of the bunker.
Yeah. So you haven't really said what you would do if there was no bunker, like if you didn't prepare at all, like what would be your first move?
And the bomb was incoming, I'd probably jump in a swimming pool or like hide under a bridge or something.
Okay, so those might work. What, let's say the bomb already happened and you're like, oh, like you're waking up or coming out of your shelter, and like we said before, it's all orange.
Okay, how do I survive?
Yeah, like what do you do?
I think my game is to become, like the artist of the new world, because most of the artists will have died.
Yeah.
So the bar will be significantly lower.
So you're not making a food run. You're making a paint run.
Yeah. That's a good call. First chance I get. I hit up all the craft stores while everybody's trying to get food.
Yeah.
And then they have to come to me for art supplies.
And you're literally a starving artist because you didn't get any food.
That's right.
Or prepare in any way.
I'll trade my pastels for some toast or whatever.
Honestly, that might, like, it seems like a dumb idea on the surface, but it might work. Because imagine you're in this situation and you come across a guy who painted... Assuming you could paint at least a little bit, like the landscape, you'd be like, that's kind of historical, actually. Like, you painted that on day one.
Yeah, the first blown up landscape painting.
Yeah.
That'll go for a lot of pop caps in this new world.
I know that you're making a Fallout reference with pop caps, but yeah. I thought you were going to say pop tarts, and that would be the currency of the new world.
Which either way.
I'm all for.
Totally for that.
Your Bitcoin would be worthless, so that sucks.
It already is. This episode of Super Good Question is brought to you by Skylights. Put glass in your roof.
It won't leak. Okay, so this is another question with a monetary value, so we have to, like, you know, work around that, but...
$1 million.
You get paid $1,000 a day, but you have a 50% chance each day of randomly sharding. Would you do it?
For the rest of my life, this could be my whole employment, $1,000 a day.
I mean, if you can live on $365,000 a year, yeah, it could be.
But it's 50-50 that I'll shart.
It's 50-50 that you'll shart, yeah. So half your days are, I think, getting ruined by
a shart. Okay. Well,
this is basically like, would you have a gastric disease for $1,000 a day? Right?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I'd have to say no.
Really?
At 50-50, yeah, it's like half your days. And you never know when to expect it.
I think I'm on the S train. Like, there's adult diapers, and I never have to work again. I can do whatever I want. I just might have an accident.
That's true. You can probably afford like the best.
I certainly can diapers. At $1,000 a day.
Yeah, and like it's better in the winter. Like if you don't have to wear shorts ever, I might almost do it.
So you just move to a cold climate because you can wear your Depends underneath your snowsuit and nobody has to know?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it would make dating hard, I guess, but I feel like you would get used to it pretty quickly and divide, like you'd have all sorts of, you'd be wearing a diaper all the time, but
yeah.
Other than that, like you'd have methods and it's...
What about days where you sharted like early in the morning and it got out of the way? Like you can only do it once a day, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Then your day's like clear. You can live like a normal day.
That's what I was going to say. Like it seems like the premise of the question is once a day, right? So if you just wear a diaper until it happens and it might not happen and you get used to wearing a diaper and if not, like...
You have to get used to it eventually anyways.
Yeah, like you'd... This is going to happen. We're all going to have this 50% chance at some point. It might be the last 3 weeks of your life. It might be the last 30 years of your life.
So true.
Or you could get a disease like tomorrow and it could be your whole life.
Exactly.
So for me, it's a pretty easy yes, I would do it.
Wow.
So I'm surprised that you're...
Wait, maybe ask me again in like... 10 to 15 years when my self-esteem or whatever, my shame meter is more deadened.
Yeah.
Like when I'm old enough that I care a lot less about my body. And
have no fucks to give.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might sign on then.
All right.
I'm kind of on the fence about it right now.
I think I could convince you, but we'll come back to it in 10 years.
Okay.
Okay.